Karen Walker, for those of you that don't know me yet. I am the Connect Group coordinator here at Innovation, and sometimes I get to share from the stage. And just so happens, you know, we've been in this series called You've Got Game, or You Got Game, and the title of my message today is Put Your Money Where Your Faith Is. You know, Pastor Billy has been not shy about sharing how he doesn't want to talk about tithing and giving. I'm not sure I know any pastor who enjoys talking about that. Just an uncomfortable conversation to have. But I happen to love to talk about it because I have my own personal testimony, pretty compelling if I do say so myself, I get to testify about the goodness of God and how he's been faithful to me. Just to share a little bit of the backstory of what my mindset was like. I came to know the Lord when I was 17, but I really didn't follow or serve the Lord until I was around about 22. And growing up, I'm going to date myself here, but growing up, I grew up in the time of the televangelists were big. And if you might know some of those names, I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus this morning, but you can think of them. And they would come on the TV and they would say, sow a seed, and they would promise that your seed would be returned to you 5, 10, 100-fold. And then over time, we got to see many of those same televangelists kind of fall from grace through scandal after scandal. And so it kind of tainted my view and caused some distrust. And I would hear, too, in the circles, in my family circles, there would be conversations that I wouldn't be involved in, but I would overhear. And so as a young, impressionable mind, I kind of didn't even know I was absorbing that perspective that those adults in those groups had. So I had a little bit of a distrust about giving money to churches to begin with. And then pair that with being in a family where my dad worked in a job that there was like layoffs almost every year. And he had a really great job, made a great income when he made one. And so it was like feast, you know, no cares at all. We were living large when the money was there. But then there would be seasons where it was famine. And I remember going to the grocery store one time with my mom, and I wanted that candy bar, you know. We were at the checkout. I'm like, oh, Mom, can I have the candy bar? And she's like, no, Karen, we can't afford that this week. And so I'm like, why? We can't afford a candy bar? It's like not even 50 cents at that time, you know. So I think the insecurities of money situation as I was growing up also had an impact on my mindset. And so when I came to follow Jesus and people would talk about tithing at the church, that just wasn't in my wheelhouse. I just wasn't going to do it. I had this self-preservation mode because of the way I grew up, that I'm going to make sure that I have clothing and food and a roof over my head and all those things before I even think about trying to give to something else. So then just fast forward, and I don't meet my husband, Ray, and he's a giver. He just is. He would give somebody the shirt off his back knowing that he didn't have another one to put on. You know, that's just how he is. And he believed in tithing. He was a tither. But when we got together, he allowed me to manage the finances. And so we weren't tithing. Now, he probably thinks I didn't see this. He wasn't in first service, so he didn't get to hear this part. But he would get money out, like he would get his spending money out or whatever. And that would be what he would put in the plate. Instead of spending it on himself through the week, he would just, because he knew I wasn't writing a tithe check, and so he would just give what he felt he could get away with without making me upset. And so so that's where we were, and we hadn't been married very long, and we started our family right away. And so at this point, when the Lord spoke to me, convicted me about tithing, it was in this scenario. I was 6 months pregnant, right around there. I was working part-time at a dry cleaner and going to school full-time, and Ray was mowing. He had a mowing business, and I worked at Walmart part-time, too. And here I am. I told you I was in self-preservation mode when it came to money and finances, and I wanted to make sure I was taken care of, and then we're expecting this baby, and I can't take care of myself, let alone a baby, because at the time, our rent, it included our utilities, you know, so our rent and utilities was about $700 a month, And then I had a car payment, and that was about $300 a month. So total, just in those two things, was $1,000 that we had to come up with each month, and that wasn't food or gas for transportation or any other bills. And it's amazing to tell you that we brought home just $900. So we didn't even have it. We were short just to cover our living expenses and transportation to get to and from work. And so this was the situation we're in. And Ray comes to me because he had been to the Lord in prayer about our finances, and the Lord said, "You need to tithe." And so he comes to me, and we have this conversation again. He said, "Karen, I just really feel strongly that we need to tithe." And you can imagine the heated conversation that might have taken place. I'm like, "How can we tithe? We don't even have money to pay the bills." And he's like, "I know, but just, Karen," you know, he was really gracious to me. He really was and kind. And he said, "Karen, just don't take my word for it. Just go, can you just read Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 11, or 8 through 10. It was 8 through 10. And I said, "Okay." I didn't do it right then. I waited a little bit because I was still a little mad. And so then I went and I read it. And I'm not going to read 10 yet. We're just going to look at 8 and 9 because this is the part that kind of pierced my heart and convicted me. And so Malachi 3, I don't want you, Xfinity. Malachi 3, 8 and 9 says, "Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. You ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me." Now, just before this, in the verse before, it's talking about Israel wants to know how they can return to God. And it's very interesting that the first thing that God talks about is tithing. What's the connection there, right? And we'll get into that in just a minute. So at this point, I read this, I'm convicted, and so I go to Ray and I say, "Okay, you're right. God wants us to tithe, but I'm going to do it for 1 month. We'll do it for 1 month. I didn't give God much time. If 1 month, and if we're not any better off after a month, then I'm not going to tithe anymore." And he's like, he knows the Lord very well. You know, he's like, "That's all I'm asking for, Karen. Just try it." And so that very next Sunday, we start tithing. Again, dating myself, we were writing a check to the church. We didn't have online giving or anything like that. And I'm not going to lie, it was painful to write that check because I knew there wasn't enough money in our checking account to pay the bills. And so I write the check. And didn't feel good about it. The Lord says, "Be a cheerful giver." I wasn't. I was not a cheerful giver at that moment. But I am now because I took that first step of obedience. And so we gave. And then it wasn't even 2 weeks in, I don't believe. I don't know if you remember, Ray, your memories about this. But it was about 2 weeks in. And we came home. I don't even remember where we were. And again, dating ourselves, we had an answering machine because we didn't carry around cell phones at the time. And the light was blinking and it was beeping at us when we walked in the door. And so I hit play. And Ray and I are in the kitchen there standing, listening to the recording. And it goes something like this. It was from my friend Judy. And she said, "Hey, Karen, I don't even know if you're really looking for a job, but we're hiring for a receptionist. And for some reason, you came to my mind. I think it'd be a good job for you. I think you'd be a good fit here. If you're interested, no pressure, just give me a call and I'll tell you more about it." And I remember Ray and I looking at each other like, that's kind of odd. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't have people calling me, offering me jobs or telling me about jobs. It's usually the other way around. You know, you're searching and turning resumes and doing interviews, that sort of thing. So I did like I always do. This is my approach. If an opportunity presents itself, I pray, "God, if it's your will, let the door be open. But if it's not, please shut the door. I don't want to go where you don't want me to be." And so that's what I did. And lo and behold, I hit it off with the gal who would soon be my boss. And I was visibly pregnant at this point, almost 7 months or right around 7 months. And knowing, like, you know, you can't just like have a baby and go to work the next day, right? So they knew that I would be having this child and need to be off for at least 6 weeks. So just about the time I would be getting trained, I'd need to take some time off and probably forget everything because of mom brain and when I got back. So they did. They hired me. And that job paid a couple of dollars more on the hour, and it was full time. So in that short amount of time, the Lord had more than doubled my income because I was working part time at a dry cleaner's making like $7 an hour. And then Ray, he had decided about this same time in there, he had decided that he was going to go down to the temp agency. And he was going to see what they had for him there because it had to be more than what he was making at Walmart. And we knew that the mowing season would be coming to an end and that those funds wouldn't be coming through. And so they went ahead and they sent him over to this plant maintenance company. And so he went there and he really liked it and they really liked him. We said that he had we used to say, you got the fog, dog, you know, like the favor of God. So he had the favor of God on him. And they ended up, you know, how temp agencies work, usually you have to fulfill, like, what is it, like 90-day commitment, and then the company can hire you directly. Otherwise, the company has to pay, like, a finder's fee almost. Well, this company liked Ray so much that they went ahead and bought the contract out and offered him a full-time job, and it was quite a bit more than he was making through the temp agency. And so God was so faithful to us. He wanted to show Karen Walker that I don't need a month. You can give me a month. You think it's short, but I'll fix it in 2 weeks. You know, God is so faithful. So he more than doubled our income in less than a month's time and took us from not having enough to having more than enough. That is the kind of God we serve. When we trust him and we're faithful and we're obedient to his call, he is faithful to respond. Not one time in my over 20-some years of serving the Lord has he failed. Not one time. And I'm sure there are many others in this room that could testify to the same thing. So, God is good. That's my testimony. I could tell you many other things. Ray actually shared in our group, it's not always about finances. And God knows the desires of your heart. I'm just going to take a moment and share. So, I had just mentioned in passing one time that I wanted a cat. And Ray said, Ray's not a cat person. And he's like, the only way you're gonna get a cat is if it's born on our front step. I know it's hard to believe, but one Sunday morning, we're walking out of our house and it was a tri-level, so the porch was raised up. This black cat runs out from underneath the porch and its tail is all kind of nasty. I'm like, what is wrong with that cat? Is he trying to die under our porch? What is going on? And so, that was that. We went to church. We came home, and my sister-in-law lived down the road, and she's like, you want to go for a walk? And I said, yeah. So the whole family went for a walk, and we get back home, and we hear this meow, 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 this tiny little meow. And I look down. We're searching. Where is that coming from? And this little baby kitten still had the umbilical cord and the sack attached to it, was laying between this brick and our steps. And then I rush around because I worked at the Humane Society when I was younger. See, the Lord is always preparing you. You might think what you're doing is mundane, but it's always preparing you for something. And I rushed in, and my friend who just happened to have found some kittens in her dad's barn who had been bottle feeding them, and they had just been weaned, had bottles and kitten formula. Did you know there was such a thing as kitten formula? I didn't know that before I worked at the Humane Society. And so I'm calling her up, and she's like, I'll bring it over. And so I bottle fed that kitten. So the Lord, I didn't even pray for a cat, but he knows the desires of your heart. Now, Ray would say, I don't think that cat was from heaven. I think it was from another place that starts with H. But but the Lord does know the desires of your heart. Anyway, so we're going to talk today. I want to talk to you a little bit about what tithing is and what a tithe isn't, and why the Lord wants us to tithe, and then we'll kind of wrap it up. So what a tithe is? Well, first, let's clear up some misconception. There's one thing that we have to get right in our minds before we can really even start to tithe. So we think that what we have belongs to us, right? Like, the word mine is probably about the fourth word we learn when we're learning how to speak, right? It's mama, dada, no, and then mine usually, right? So we're born with this innate holding on to, it's mine. We don't want something taken away from us. But everything you have, Everything you have belongs to the Lord. You wouldn't have it except for him. So we have to come to this concept of tithing with that in mind. It's not ours to begin with. And I can show you in Scripture. In Matthew 25, verses 14 and 15, he says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. Well, this is a parable, so you always have to, you know, you have to kind of interpret what that means, but God has entrusted you with part of his wealth, whether that's in your finances, your possessions, what you produce, he's entrusted it to you. So it's not ours. It's a lot easier to give away something that doesn't belong to you, isn't it? It is, right? So if we have that mindset, it's not ours to begin with. All he's giving you 100%, and a tithe is 10%. We're going to get into that. But he's giving you 100%. He's asking you just to give 10% back, and then the 90% is yours. That is a pretty good deal. Yeah. When you think about it like that, that is a pretty good deal. So tithing is 10%. In Leviticus 27:30, it says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Now this word tithe in the Hebrew actually means a tenth. So it's not something that's made up, that somebody way back in the day made up. This is actually scriptural. It's 10%. And it really meant from your income, production, or possessions. Now, I don't think we all need to parade a 10% of our clothing and all of that into the church, but just know that a tithe is 10%. Now, there's a lot of debate on whether it's from your net or your gross. I really don't think the Lord wants to split hairs over that. I believe that as you are faithful, God is faithful. Leave that up to you, between you and the Lord, of whether it's your net or your gross. The tithe, maaser, I probably won't say that right, is a tenth. So sometimes I've talked with people, gone to church with people who are like, I give a little here and I give a little there. That's not a tithe. It doesn't take any faith to give a little. Tithing is the first fruits. So first fruits appears a lot in Scripture. You can do a lot of research on your own. But the first fruits in Deuteronomy 26:10, I liked this verse because it says, now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. It refers to the fact that it came from the Lord anyway. And it's the first fruits. So what that looks like for us is on Friday or Saturday, sometimes Sunday morning, when I sit down to do our bills, you know, we get paid, Ray gets paid every week, I get paid every other week, so sometimes it's two checks, but I look and see what our check was, I see what our balance in our bank account is, and then the next line is tithe. What do I need to tithe? And then I pay the bills after that. It's not the leftovers. It takes no faith to give to God from our leftovers. It takes faith to give from the first fruits. And then the tithe goes to the church. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. The storehouse is the church. Now, I shared that, you know, I had some distrust because of watching how certain individuals in the church and certain churches did not steward things the way that the Lord would have had them steward it. And I can tell you that this church stewards it well. The tithe is not gifts and offerings. There is a difference. There's tithes and then there's gifts and offerings. The tithe is a 10%, and it's important to do that first and faithfully. I've also gone to people with who say, oh, I give to Caleb, I tithe to Caleb, I tithe to this missionary. And while those are good things, there's just a misunderstanding there. That's not a tithe. According to Scripture, a tithe is what you bring to the storehouse. And then the storehouse can give to the sick, the needy, the poor, the widow. And there's a reason why you bring it to the storehouse. I was talking with Craig earlier, and I told him he could have given the message after talking to him. I'm like, oh yeah, I had to talk about that. Yeah, that's in there. And but he said, you know, really, he was reading about it, and I hope it's okay if I share this, Craig. you know, God calls certain people to be pastors, ministers, and I don't know if you've ever been in a church where the pastor had to be bivocational, meaning they had to have a job outside the church and pastor the church. I don't care if you're bivocational. The church is a full-time, more than full-time job. They're getting phone calls in the middle of the night. They're going and visiting people who are sick. They're up all night praying and thinking about different circumstances and situations that they know about that are happening in families. Like, that's a job that doesn't ever end. And there's a... if the pastor has to work outside of the church, he can't serve the people God's called him to serve the way that he really, that God would want him to. And so bringing the tithe into the storehouse supports the pastor so he can do the job God's called him to do. And I didn't even have that in my message, so thank you, Craig. And I didn't share that in first service either, so I don't know. I just felt like I needed to share that with you all. And I will tell you, I think Pastor Billy shared during this sermon that he would rather take no income from the church so that they could hire other people. And I have the privilege of serving on the finance council as well. And we have wanted to increase the salary before. The committee did. And we told him that, you know, we even voted on what we wanted to do, and he didn't take it. He gave it to his wife instead. And there's been other times where he'd give it to Jordan instead. So the heart of our leadership is to grow the church and to grow individuals in their ministry and raising them up too. And so it's just such an amazing thing to get to see that firsthand, being on that committee and seeing the inside, right? Like, I got an inside peek at what really is going on in the church. And so that was really pretty cool. So why does God want us to tithe? That builds our faith and our trust in the Lord. We begin to see God as Jehovah Jireh, which I don't know if you've done any studies. Has anybody done any studies of the names of God? It's pretty cool, right? So the study that I did, actually, it kind of just took you from the beginning, from Genesis to Revelation, and it was very interesting to do it that way because God reveals, like in Genesis, God is Elohim, the creator God, and that's the story of creation. So he's starting fresh from that perspective, and then he reveals a new name, and it shows you a different character, different trait of the Lord. And Jehovah Jireh, does anybody know what it means? Shout it out if you do. Awesome, I love that. Okay, yes, Jehovah Jireh is God our provider. And I really believe that this is the heart of God when it comes to tithe, because I can tell you, he does not need our money. It belongs to him anyway. He does not need it. I served on the board of a church, and it didn't, I mean, I'm just going to be honest, they didn't steward the money well. They didn't have money set aside knowing that, you know, a building's going to need maintenance. They didn't set any money aside for that year after year after year after year. And so no maintenance was going on year after year after year. And in 1 year, we had 3 out of the 4 air conditioners that were industrial-sized air conditioners and one furnace. Some needed to be replaced, some needed to be repaired. And then there was a roof situation that year, and it ended up being like $25,000 that we didn't have. No money in savings to deal with it. And I can tell you, God doesn't need our money, because we sat in that boardroom and we prayed and said, God, you know our need. You know we need this $25,000 to cover these expenses. And do you know that not the money that came in wasn't from anybody that tithed, but God met the need with a little bit left over. I think it was like $26,000 over what we needed came in. And it was through endowments and things like that. People who left money behind. We had just started online giving, so it was some random person that watched us online that decided to give to our church. God provided. It's not that he needs our money. It's more that he wants us to know him as Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. And then it also builds God's trust in us. The parable of the shrewd manager in Luke 16, verses 10 and 12, it says, like a city whose walls are broken down, is that supposed to be down? The part that I want us to focus on is, he who is faithful with little will be faithful with much. So it builds God's trust in us. So as we are faithful with little, he can trust us with more. So as I shared the first part of the testimony where God had more than doubled our income, we had Hannah. And then within 2 years, it was almost exactly 2 years of not being able to pay our rent, he took us to purchasing our first home in just a short time. So and that was because in that 2 years, he doubled our income in the beginning and he doubled it again. I don't know why he doubled it. He hasn't done it since. But but that might be because I'm not stewarding the 90 as well as I need to. I don't know. We'll see. But as we're faithful with little, we become faithful with much. And then the third thing why God wants us to tithe is because it provides for the work of the church. It provides for the work of the gospel through the church. So as I said, you know, I serve on the finance council, and we have a line item in our budget for benevolence. And what that means is if somebody has a need they come to the church asking for help, we have a line item already budgeted to be able to do that. But it's only budgeted to be able to do that so many times a year. Well, just in the month of August, we had 3 benevolence requests come in. And so I got to be on the finance council and in the discussions where we're like, well, we only have it budgeted for this, but because we had this money over here, we were able to help all 3 because of the giving of the faithful givers and the way that this church stewards the tithe. We were able to help all 3 of those families. Isn't that amazing? That is an amazing thing. Because when Ray and I were struggling, we went to our church, and they weren't in a financial position to help us. So it's just an amazing thing to be part of a church who stewards, who actually does what they preach. You know, Pastor Billy's been talking about all of these things that we should implement in our personal finances, and it's done at the church too. So we have like 6 months worth of expenses and savings. I haven't ever been a part of a church that had that. You know, like we had some catastrophe, something happened where none of us could work and there was no tithe coming in, the church would still be okay for a while. And I think that's really amazing. We've also recently, I say recently, it's been several months now, but we wanted to be better stewards of the finances here. And so we knew we were looking at different accounts that the money would earn interest, but would do it safely. And so we transitioned some money over so that the tithe that is coming in is actually earning money as it's sitting there. And so it's, the tithe is going further because of the way that the church is stewarding that. And I've never been part of a church or around people, I guess, maybe, that are able to make things go as far as they go. You know, all of the cool decorations that we have for the different stage design and the series that we have and just the events that we have. Oftentimes those are borrowed decorations. They've created this network where we loan our decorations out to other churches and they let us borrow theirs. And so they just make it, they do more with less, right? They do more with less. And so I'm learning how to do more with less because I get to be around them. We also have a budget. We stick to a budget. You can talk to any head of a ministry here, like Jordan or anybody really, and there's a budget. And if it's more than the budget allows, then you have to come up with another way to figure it out. Right, Mark? You like do fundraisers or whatever it takes. So they get creative in how they handle that. I said in the first service, I think Pastor Billy can stretch $1.10. And I don't say that in a derogatory manner at all. It really is a gift he has. I do believe that. And then building instead of buying. Like, I don't know, have you all seen the cool picnic tables out there made out of the spools? Like, so we had these spools, and we needed picnic tables out there for the fireworks. And so they had this design, and then several, I think there's like three people from the church who got together and actually made that happen. You know, they took the design and they engineered it and all of that, and they gave of their time and their talent to put those together. And so it didn't cost us hardly anything, I don't think, to make those. And so just a side note, when you give of your time and your talent, it makes the treasure go further, right? It makes the tithe go further. And the finances here at our church, there's full transparency. It's on full display. We submit, there's an annual report every year that you can look and you see where the money goes. But if you ever have a question, I know it's happened before where somebody wanted to just see, like, how does the church spend the money? Because like me, other people, I just talked to somebody this morning after service that said, you know, I was part of churches that didn't steward the finances well, and so I haven't been giving. So maybe you're like me and had some distrust, or maybe you had some financial insecurities, money insecurities, where it's hard to tithe because of fear, really. So hopefully this message will speak to you. So here's the challenge. We're going to read Malachi 8 through 10 this time. And we'll see if it hits you like it hit me. Maybe you already tithe, and I want to say thank you. I'm glad that you do, because I know that your relationship with the Lord is enriched because you've trusted him with this hard thing to trust him with. If you're not, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will speak to you and encourage you. Because I know that God wants you to know him as Jehovah Jireh, not just provision for finances, but for any other need you have, whether it's spiritual, physical, emotional, mental. He is our provision in everything. And he wants that deeper relationship with you. He wants you to learn that you can trust him in all circumstances. So when we give up just a little bit, give back what he's already given, that is the first step in trusting him with more. And it will deepen your relationship with him, and I know you'll be blessed by it. So we're going to read Malachi 3, 8 through 10. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. It's the only place that I found in Scripture that the Lord says, test me. If you remember when Jesus was in the desert being tempted by Satan, what did Jesus say? Do not test the Lord thy God. That was his response to Satan. But in this thing, here the Lord is saying, test me in this. And then the next part is, Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. But God wants to bless you. Test him in this and see if he doesn't open the floodgates of heaven. Will you choose to test God in this? Will you be obedient? Will you grow your faith in God? And will you demonstrate to God that you can be trusted with the little so he can trust you with more? Will you put your money where your faith is? The leaders here at Innovation have decided that this has been before even I was going to speak. This has been a thing for a while now, but they believe so much that God will be faithful to you, and they want so much. The heart behind it is that you would develop a trust in the Lord and his goodness and his faithfulness through this one step of obedience, not because they need the money, because we all know, I share examples of how God will provide regardless of what your decision is today. But they offer a money-back guarantee. You tithe for 3 months, and at the end of that 3 months, if God has not shown up in your finances and blessed you and it has met your needs in that 3 months, they'll give the whole tithe back to you. I've never been a part of a church that does that. But that's the heart, not because they need your money, but because they want you to grow in your relationship with the Lord and take one step of surrender and obedience to him. So just know that that's out there. If the Lord is speaking to your heart about this today, that there's even a money-back guarantee that the church offers. So will you take that step? I pray that you will. Thank you.